Oh, here we go. Well, greetings, everyone. I ring that means I'm supposed to talk. I was just looking up the lyrics to that worship song you just did. That's perfect for me bringing this message, because here's where I lay it down. Every burden and every crown, this is my surrender. Wow, that's a good way to start right there, isn't it? Well, I'm going to be ministering on meditating the Word. You can't meditate the Word with a busy soul, with heavy burdens and heavy, or crowns. You know, we're going to lay it all down. We're going to make room for Him to do whatever He wants to. I like, these words are dangerous. These some songs are dangerous, because you just commence to singing them, the Lord will take you at your word. Oh, yeah, you said I could. Okay, that's the truth though. Okay, so let me get into my message here. I was waiting on the Lord, you know, after I brought my Thursday stuff. I was waiting on the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do this week. I sometimes know early, but I didn't. And I said, well, I'm going to meditate, you know, here I'm going to read some and meditate in your word. And I'm just reading along where I've been reading, you know, annually reading through the Word, and we're up in Joshua, and I was just reading, and man, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 just jumped out to me, so I stopped, and I just began to meditate on it, and the Lord said, I want you to speak on meditating my Word. It really goes along with a lot of what I've been talking about. If you've been following along with my messages, you know, my Thursday trainings, and about abiding in Him, abiding in His Word, abiding in His agape love, quieting of the soul, bringing the soul into submission to our spirit. And so I'm just going to look at some scripture here. I'm not going to go long because I got so many notes. There's no way I could bring a message. I could bring a 40-45 minute message every day for probably 25 days just getting started on meditating the Word. And Andrew Womack's written a great book called Effortless Change, which I have taught Bible studies out of. But we're just going to do a little bit, okay? So turn, if you will, to Joshua 1, starting in verse 7. Moses, you know, we just finished up Deuteronomy right there. Moses, you know, He went up on the mountain and he just died. He just laid down and there it goes. And so, but he had commissioned, he had, you know, he and the Lord, you know, Yahweh had commissioned Joshua, and they had given him, they've been speaking all these things to him, and they just continued to repeat it. In fact, verse 7 is a continuation of what he just said in verse 6. But let me read this to you. It says, only be strong and very courageous. Now, the thing about Joshua, he was strong and courageous anyway. You know, he was one of those that did not shrink back. He was a man of faith. He saw things through the eyes of faith. He just believed the Lord. He just believed Him. And he followed the leader that the Lord had set over him faithfully. You know, Moses, and he was one of the, maybe only of the millions, he was probably the one that didn't give Moses a hard time. But he was always strong and courageous. But there's a difference of being strong and courageous when you're a part of the team or part of a group than when you're leading the group. See, that's a whole different ball game. You know, I remember when the Lord, you know, we got going and we had leaders, you know, the Lord sent us some people to teach us. And, you know, I was always strong and courageous. I'm going to go with them. They're going to show us how to witness to people. We're going to go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We're going to go to jails and to prisons and minister. And we're going to see lives transformed. And I was strong and courageous because I didn't have to lead it. You know, it wasn't on me. All the people into our group wasn't my responsibility. And so here is Joshua. He's been strong and courageous, but what he's about to face and leading an obstinate people, he's going to need a new level of strong and courageous. And so the Lord says, repeating to him, the Lord is speaking to him directly. And he says, only be strong and courageous. Now, I'm going to be reading these two verses, but I'm going to tell you, there's a few things that the Lord emphasized to me, so I'm going to say them with emphasis. It'll sound kind of funny, but you'll get the message, okay? It says, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Do not turn from it that you may have, right? So when the Lord is speaking to Joshua about being strong and courageous, he's repeating, like I said, out of Deuteronomy 31, and then what he just said in verse 6, and Moses had spoken it to him, as the Lord had commanded Moses to speak it to him. But Joshua had to be strong and courageous, but how was he supposed to do it? Well, the word shows him right there. See, all he had to do was follow the word. Well, he said, be careful to do, but just be careful, being strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses, right? Being careful to do the word, being careful to follow the word, to keep the word. To keep the word is that word tereo, in the Greek is tereo. I can't pronounce any of the Hebrew stuff, so I'm just sticking with what I can figure out. But all you had to do is follow what God said. Just follow the instructions and the plan that the Lord had laid out. And the Lord said he'd keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed upon him, right? Isaiah 26:3. That's what it says. That's what the word says. If we will, Terea, we will value, treasure, steward the word. Remember, I gave a message, I don't know when it was, couple of months ago, about stewarding the word, and that word tereo is there. But if we'll keep his word, if we will just follow his word, we will be kept in his peace. See, it keeps our attention focused right on him. It keeps us focused on the right things. But don't turn to the left or to the right. Because to the left and to the right are the things that are trying to distract us. And there's been some powerful things that are not, they're not wicked things. They're just things that are so powerful that pull us to the side from being able to follow the word, to do what the Lord wants us to do. I can't tell you how many people, men and women, that I know that the Lord had a plan for them. But you know what? Family started calling on them. Well, I need your help. I need your help watching the grandchildren. I need your help watching the children or the great-grandchildren. Or I need your help. Could you drive me, could you drive me up to Greensboro today? Or could you do this for me when you know you've got something laid out in front of you? Well, the Lord wants you to draw aside to him. And you're going to set us... You set aside a certain particular time of day and watch what happens. And all these needs come up. That's being pulled over to the right or to the left. There's legitimate things, but you got to have some balance in there. You got to set some boundaries to yourself, right? So he's instructing him, only be strong and courageous. If he only be strong and courageous, being careful to do his word. Don't turn to your right hand or to your left hand. If you'll do that, you will have good success. wherever you go, you will prosper. You can't miss prospering. You can't miss it. And following his truths and other principles of God, of the Word of God, makes whatever we do to prosper. I mean, I know that's been my experience. Whatever we do to prosper. So let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, because this is the main verse right here that I'm going to build off of. And the Lord said to him, this book of the law, I'm emphasizing, shall not depart from your mouth. He didn't say from your hands or from your eyesight or from your heart or from your house or from your people. This book, this word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the emphasis from the Holy Spirit to me was, don't let the word depart out of your mouth. And I hadn't even thought about that. Don't let the word depart out of your mouth. What's that got to do with meditating the word? I never thought about it. I mean, I've done it, but I never thought about it in that scripture. I never saw it. Never really landed on me. But you shall meditate on it, constantly meditating, thinking upon it, taking it with you. You know, I was saying something to someone in the Q&A the other day that, you know, they were talking about, yeah, they do really well, but then they have to go take care of things. They got, you know, stuff going on in the house, and they got to go shopping to get groceries, and they got to do this and that and other. I said, well, no, here's what you don't do. You take Jesus with you. I mean, I go and take him with me and ask him questions. I remember one day I'm in the grocery store, and I'm an intimidated human being just getting out of the car at the parking lot. I don't want to cook. I don't know how to cook, and I'm terrible. Or shopping, both of those two things. So I'm in the grocery store, and I said, Lord, I got to find something that I can cook for Kathy. I mean, I don't know what to do. And I said, Lord, you got any suggestions? And I'm just walking along, and the Lord pointed out something to me. He said, you see this beef tips and gravy right here, this Hormel? I said, yeah. He said, get that. He said, get you some potatoes and some onions and some carrots and put that in the crock pot. And it's going to taste just like how your mama used to make it from scratch. And you know what? I did that, and it was great. Kathy liked it. That's what was important. And it did taste just like my mama's. So you can just take him with you wherever you go. You're meditating the Lord. You're meditating on the Lord. You're meditating on him. Meditating on him day and night. Be careful to do. And when the Lord said that, you know what I did? I did exactly what he said. I'm doing the word. That's a good example. I was doing the word. And guess what? For then, you will make your way prosperous. I prospered. I prospered in it, and I had success. But the book, you know, the book of the law he's talking about here for Joshua was the first five books that Moses had written called the Pentateuch. You know, it's those first five books had their journey and the law in it and everything and all their precepts and things that they had to do. But you know what? We got the whole Bible. And it's alive now. It's alive to us because we got his spirit, right? We are his spirit. That's who we are now. And we're one with him. And all of a sudden, things that were old, that were not alive to the people in those days, become alive to us. Meditate the word. Meditate the word. So we got the whole Bible, and it shall not depart out of our mouth. And when the Lord is instructing Joshua about this whole deal, he tells him to speak the word and meditate it. Meditate on it day and night. Speak it and meditate on it. Just reading the word, even if you're reading it out loud, It's not the same, you know it. I mean, I know people who had memorized large portions of the Bible, but had no power in their life. They had no life in them. Really, they had nothing. They weren't experiencing the Lord. They weren't experiencing success. They weren't experiencing breakthrough. They memorized it, but it didn't have any life in it to them because they didn't really meditate the word. But they just memorized it. Or they learned it that way. You know what? So just reading the word is not meditating the word. Most people stop with just reading it and think they've meditated. Most people think that, you know, it's like somebody brings a message, or if you're in one of Pastor Ernestine's good Bible studies that she does, and they're rich, you know, and you just, it's so enjoyable just breaking the bread of life. You know, it's the bread of life, the word, and it's so good, and it tastes so good. It's, you know, this is good. The Holy Spirit bears witness to it, but you still hadn't meditated it. Just because he bears witness to it, and it's, you were excited with it and everything, what you want to do is go aside now and spend some time and say, Lord, I want to meditate on this word with you. I want to get this. But, you know, I didn't never think about it, but I was speaking this word too. And I would begin to speak his word. You know, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I didn't memorize that. I meditated on it. But it became memory to me because it was something that was real for me. I didn't just read the word. You know, and, you know, you can speak the word. But if you meditate the word and speak the word, it's different. It's like when I'm doing that, I'm hearing it. I'm speaking it over myself. You understand what I'm saying? So, but when you meditate the word, you get a whole different level of familiarity with the word. And you're meditating on his truths a lot more than when you're just reading the scripture. What you're doing is to meditate on it, is taking it and let it roll around in your heart and your mind and holding it before the Lord and just waiting on him and just trying to glean all you can get. You know, it's amazing what'll happen if you just meditate on the Lord. Sometimes I'll meditate on the word and then I just begin to meditate on the Lord. And next thing I know, well, he's beginning to open up the word to me. He's just going to show me what it means. He's going to give me some revelation on it. Not going to give me all of it because there's no end to it. I don't have a lifetime. It take more than one lifetime to get all the revelation of any scripture. I'm telling you, it's that full. So, you know, when you have meditated the word and it becomes real, you know, it becomes like fact to you. It's like you don't need faith for it. It's a fact. You've got the evidence of things not seen. You begin to see it. You know, this same word is translated both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's translated, meditate is also translated sometimes as imagine. You know, you begin to meditate the word and some of the things that you're meditating, you begin to get a picture of. You know, it just becomes yours. And then what you want to do is then faith will attach to it. And you want to, but then you're going to do the word. Whatever it says, that's what you're going to do. See, because the word will produce. When you meditate the word will produce an action. You know what James says, James, you know, chapter 2 says, faith without works is dead. So I'll give you an example. One of the scriptures I meditate on when I'm quiet in my soul is Psalms 131, verse 2, one of my favorite scriptures. And, you know, it says, surely I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a winged child with his mother, like a winged child is my soul within me. And I just love that. I've meditated on that for long periods of time. And in the Passion Translation, it writes, it's like a contented, I love that, a contented child who rests on his mother's lap. Get that picture. See, you just had to mute. You just use your imagination right there. It's like a contented child at rest on his mother's lap. I am your resting child, and my soul is content in you. Yeah. You're meditating on that, and guess what? Then you put faith to it, and you do it. Hello, and I say, Lord, I just quiet my soul right now. I am your contented child, and I am content in you. I rest in you. I abide in you. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to me. And I just, that's an example. I just gave you a picture of what it's supposed to look like. But, you know, when we've spoken the word, meditated on it, and acted on it, then he'll make your way prosperous. It'll produce something in your life. I mean, if I spend time in the mornings like I do, I'm going to spend some time in, I'm going to read the word for the scriptures for today, but then I'm going to meditate the word. Sometimes I meditate some scriptures before I even start doing that. And as I do that, and I meditate the word, and I begin to do what I'm meditating, it makes my whole day different. If you'll meditate the word and speak it like I'm speaking it out loud, I'm meditating it, and I'm acting upon it before the Lord, it's then, and only then, will he make your way prosperous and you have good success. I mean, everybody talks about they'd like to have, good success and prosperity in the things of the Lord or anything in life. I don't care if it's your career. That's how I had prosperity in my career, because I dedicated all of it to the Lord. I'm not even going to go to work without spending an hour of being still before the Lord, before I even start. That's what I did when I ran my businesses. But very few people are willing to dedicated enough to do the things necessary to get those kinds of results. But those things will happen if you will set aside that time. Let's look at some scriptures, different scriptures here. I meant to set a stopwatch, I'm sorry. But in Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2, I love this. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of, I learned it, I meditated on this when I just only had the King James. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight, or nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but verse 2, but his delight, what is he excited about? And what brings him joy is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And in his law, or his word, he meditates day and night. Well, you reckon David got that, that exhortation from reading Joshua? Reading the book of Joshua? What the instructions that was given to Joshua in Joshua 1? I think so. See, not only are we blessed for what we do, but also this verse reveals that we are blessed for what we do not do. Because he starts out with, blessed is the man who does not walk out to the counsel of the wicked. So we're blessed because of what we don't do. But his delight is in the law. He meditates day and night. He's blessed for what he does do. See, David's placing blessing for those who delights in his word and who meditates in his word day and night. And, the Hebrew word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it's also translated in this verse, and in I've seen it translated in other versions in Psalms 2 verse 1 is imagine. You know, why do the wicked imagine a vain thing? It's the same word translated that way. They meditate it. They imagine it, using their imagination. 1 Timothy in the New Testament, 4, verse 15. Paul is instructing Timothy as a young pastor. He's a young man in their culture. I don't know how old a man he is, but he's young in their culture. And he's a pastor. And he's been set there to lead this particular body of Christ in this city. And he says, I want you to meditate. See what he's been encouraging him up to this point. You read the previous verses. Says, you want to pay attention to, I think it's in the previous verse or two, the gifts that were imparted to you with the laying on of hands. And we don't know what those gifts were. I'm thinking it's the gift of being able to pastor, for sure. To being able to have those certain gifts of pastoring, of administration, of teaching, and so forth. So I want you to meditate on these things that he's just been speaking over him, and give yourself entirely to them. Meditate on them and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Right? Well, that word translated meditate here is, I'm going to mess this up, meliteo. It means to care for, to bestow carefully, to bestow careful thought upon, to give painful attention to be earnest in, and revolve in your mind. Meditate on. Meditate on this. And the Passion Translation says, make all of this your constant meditation, and make it real in your life, so those around you will be able to see it when it comes out of you. It'll impact your life. I love that book, Effortless Change, because what happens is you're transformed effortlessly if you'll meditate the word. I mean, others will recognize it before you do. That's what's happened with me all the time. When I gave that testimony about how when I began to bring my soul into submission to my spirit, and I didn't know, I didn't say anything to anybody else, just me and my pastor. I didn't talk to anybody else in our group, our fellowship. But I was going to a Bible college, and the president of that school, he was teaching a lot of classes, and he got to know us all. And it's a small school, about, 35 people or so. And he pulled me aside one day, and he said, what have you been doing? What are you up to? Because I can see a difference in you. You're different. I can see it. See, others would see it. And, I told you about how I told him what I've been doing. Well, see, others will see your progress. That's not so that they'll set us up on some pedestal and we get some kind of crown or, adulation or whatever. But, it's not for that. But it's so that, it's one of the things that the Lord does for leaders, if they will follow him, people will be able to recognize the hand of the Lord upon them. That his hand is on them to lead, and his hand is on them to bring the word in whatever they are. It might be an evangelist, it might be a prophet, or apostle, a teacher, pastor, whatever. Doesn't matter. But the people, that's what these scriptures in Joshua, it talks about at the end of Deuteronomy and in the beginning of Joshua. What happened with Joshua? The Lord began to demonstrate so that the people, the Lord said, so that the people will see that my hand is on you and I'm with you, and they will follow you now. And that's when remember when they came up to Jericho? I'm getting ahead. They came up to Jericho, and it said that Joshua's sitting outside of his tent, and he's looking over there at Jericho. He's out there by himself. And a man walks up, and he's got a sword drawn. And Joshua confronts him. He said, are you for us or are you against us? He said, neither. So I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua recognized that it was the Lord, and he fell down to worship. And it wasn't an angel, because angels won't allow you to worship them. But this one did allow him to worship him, because we believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the captain of the Lord's host. He described that way in the book of Revelation. Yeah. So you see what the Lord did, and the Lord encouraged his heart, because he knew he was facing a great thing right there. He needed to be strong and courageous, and the Lord was going to help him. Isn't that funny about how the Lord will do that for you? Every time he knows that you need it, he's going to be right there to encourage you. If we'll meditate on him, if we'll meditate his word. So part of meditating is imagining, David wrote about this all the time. I just mentioned Psalms 1 and Psalms 2, and I'm going to skip down some stuff. I think I'm going to skip some things because I'm going to run out of time for what I wanted to get done tonight. Anyway, Bible meditation is filling your mind and your thoughts and your heart with the things of God, with the word of the Lord, not memorizing. I remember one time I had a chance to talk to Andrew Womack, and I asked him, I said, Andrew, because everybody always marveled about how much of the word he has memorized, I think when he was a little bit younger, he was able to recollect more of it. But anyway, it was amazing how much that he could remember. And I asked him, what method did you use to memorize the word? He said, I never tried to memorize the word. I said, you got a lot of memorized. He said, no. I meditated the word, and it got into my heart, and it's there. And it looks like I memorized it, but I meditated. It's not just something that I remember. It's a part of me. That's powerful. That's what meditating the word does. And I meditate on it and imagine it. I mean, meditating on is not just sitting around with your legs crossed and, that's not meditation. You don't put your mind blank. It's one of the things that my pastor taught me when I began to quiet my soul. He said, don't quiet your soul to the point where you're thinking of nothing. No, you think on the Lord. Because if you empty yourself out and think of nothing, you open yourself up to other things that you don't want, in the spirit realm. You meditate on him. And you meditate on the things of the Lord. And you meditate upon him. And it's amazing what happens. I'll be thinking and meditating on the Lord, and while I'm meditating and turning some things over in my heart, before the Lord, I might start thinking about I'm wondering what the Lord wants me to do Thursday, and I'm just meditating before the Lord, and all of a sudden he begins to speak to me while I'm meditating on him, and begins to send me in a certain direction. He might say a phrase, and that'll get me started. And I'll just meditate on it for a while. You understand? So, Paul was telling Timothy in that scripture we read, focus all of his attention on the things that he had been instructing him about. And this would cause Timothy would manifest God's nature to all who saw him. It would just come out. You understand? So, meditation takes some effort. But you cannot do the things that I've been teaching about if you don't. You can come and you can go back and watch all of the videos that I have online. And you can watch them 15 times each. But if you don't do them, you've got to do the word. If you don't do those things I instruct, then you won't experience what I'm talking about. It might seem like you are because he's bearing witness to it. And it might seem like you feel it inside. But he's bearing witness to it in your spirit man. But it's not yours. Until you do it. You got to go do it. You got to come before the Lord. You got to quiet your soul. You got to cut out all distractions. And get yourself into a place where you can be still and quiet. Because when you're doing that, you're meditating. You're meditating on the Lord. I'm going to skip down to a verse because, man, I want to get there so bad because I don't want to end this without going there. Well, first before I do that, meditating the word is going to require, once you begin to quiet your soul, you're going to find resistance. I've talked about that before. A lot of thoughts will begin to come to you, your mind and all this stuff, and you try to meditate. It's going to be the same way. In 2 Corinthians 10, he's talking about Paul's teaching on this. He starts talking about it. He says, for though we walk in our flesh in this natural realm, we do not war in the natural. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural. They're not carnal. Not of this realm. Okay? But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down vain imaginations. See, it's been taught many times that all imaginations are bad. I heard it taught. Well, you casting down bad imaginations. And if you begin to believe a lie, you got an imagination about it. You want to cast that down. But he says, and you casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Him, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this scripture makes it clear that we can live lives where every thought comes into captivity and obedience to Christ. This is meditation. When you begin to do that kind of stuff, that's meditation. And this verse is promising you that meditating on the things of God causes us to prosper in such a way that others can see it. You see that verse in Timothy? And, I mean, we can look at all the promises of God. I like the way Andrew does. He looks at them in the reverse and say, you know, if others can't see the blessings or the favor of God on you, the hand of the Lord upon you, then you haven't been meditating the things of God with your whole heart. You haven't. I can tell myself when I've been lax about the time I've been quiet in my soul. Or maybe I haven't come before Him and just bowed my heart enough and just emptied myself out. Just emptied myself out. You know, and you see what I'm saying? You can tell. So I pulled up several scriptures I was going to go over, but I think I'm going to end down here on something. I will say in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, that word is translated meditate and imagine is used 25 times in the Old Testament. And I pulled out a few. But here's one that I'm telling you, I've done this my entire Christian life, almost 53 years. Psalms 143, verse 5. It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. And what he's talking about is like, it's what I do. I'll do it regularly. I do it almost every day. I mean, especially if I sense I don't have a direction. And I'll sit there, Lord, I just remember the day that you set me free. I remember being in darkness. I remember being addicted. I remember being violent and in a rage continually 24 hours a day. I remember being suicidal, Lord, and you came. And you rescued me. I remember the days of old. I remember all that you have done. See, I rehearse it back to Him. When I remember it, I'm going to act on it. I'm speaking it to Him. And He loves it. And our heart loves it. And our soul needs it. And guess what I'm doing? I'm operating out of my spirit when I do that. Because I'm doing, it's His Word. It's alive in me. That's a good example right there for us. You know, I delight to do your will. David said in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O God, because your law is written on my heart. It's written on the pages of my heart. That's what he said. I think I'm going to come to a close here, but you know, there's several New Testament scriptures Colossians, you know, chapter 3. If you be Christ, let's see. It says, if you be Christ, set your affections on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Meditate on the things that are above, right? Philippians hey, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable and just and pure and lovely and all that and commendable and excellent, about eight things, meditate on these things. Well, I'm just going to end it right there. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us every opportunity to prepare our hearts for a seed of your word, for an impartation, not just to hear the word, but actually for you by your Spirit to give an impartation of revelation that we could go and then explore and meditate upon and wait upon you and watch change and transformation take place in our own walk with you. Take us to a whole new level of intimacy with you and knowledge of you and understanding, Lord. And I just thank you that you've given that to us. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us words, that your words, I thank you, Lord, for your utterance. I thank you that you've given our heart eyes to see. You've given our heart ears to hear. And Lord, if we miss something, maybe we'll go back and listen or watch it again. And Lord, I just pray now, Lord, that we would not pass up the opportunity to respond to your word. But that where we are right now, that we would out loud respond to you. Lord, help me to be better at meditating you and meditating you, your word, and the things of the Lord, just molding things over with you. Help me to remember, Lord, that after I'm finished meditating the word and after I've finished my prayer time or my worship time and I got to go out here, you know, I got to go down here to so-and-so, that you have never left me nor forsake me, and I can carry my conversation on with you, and that you can actually assist me in everywhere I go and the things I do. You can bless me in washing clothes and bless me in washing dishes, Lord, because you're with me. And I thank you for your faithfulness. I love you, Lord Jesus. I'm speaking blessing and releasing blessing over all your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Okie doke.